Jesus, we thank you so much for the many blessings that we have, and we thank you for the people of Madagascar, and we thank you for the many people around the world who have experienced your love and want to love others in many, many different ways because of what they've experienced from you. I ask that my thoughts and my words would touch different people's hearts and minds in different ways here, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be moving this morning. Amen. So, Amber, you ready for me? The first slide, everybody knows it. Probably a lot of Christians or non-Christians don't know it. That's not it. The first slide is from 1 John 3:16. Who knows what it is? 1 John 3:16. Here it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. A lot of people, I see it on semi-trailers. You know, unfortunately, I drive 80, 94 a lot. A lot of truck drivers have it on their trucks, John 3:16. So I kind of want to break that down. It doesn't say God liked the world. It doesn't even say God loved the world. God so loved the world. That's kind of like extra, like that's very, very, you know, he very, very loved the world. So what did he do? He loved the world, and because he loved the world, he sent his only Son. That's his action. And for the consequence or the result, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God so loved the world. So then I was thinking, many of you know I'm Jewish. There's a couple people here who don't. Maybe that'll help. I don't know. But so go back with me. Remember my Wayback Machine? We were talking about that one last time I preached with, I'm looking to you, Joe. You know all the cartoons, no? The Wayback Machine with Sherman and Peabody. So let's go way back. Let's go back like 2,000 years ago. And my guess is it's probably hot because we're in Israel. Probably sandy as well. So two things I'm not thrilled with. It's hot, it's sandy. We're back in Israel. It's 2,000 years ago. We got the Pharisees. That's like the judges, the police, the lawyers, you know. And they got Jesus. And Jesus is sitting there, and it's like Jesus is saying, I'm Son of God. And they're like, well, either you're Paul, like I like how Paul puts it, either you're a liar, you're crazy, or you really are the Son of God. Well, he's saying he's the Son of God. And these are like the rabbis, the scholars. They've studied the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, the Talmud, they call it, the Torah, for years and years and years. And if you study the Bible and in the Jewish tradition, it's sort of like there's, not sort of like, there's 613 rules to be like a good Jew. You know, we got rules about eating, dietary rules. We got rules about the Sabbath, about burying people, marrying people, circumcision. It just goes on and on and on. There's all kinds of rules, 613 of them. And if you're like a good Jew and you're studying with the rabbi, your goal is to learn every one of these rules and follow them as you live. So they got Jesus sitting there, and it's like, okay, Son of God, let's see what you got. And he's like, so there's 613 rules, and many of you know the passage from Matthew. It's not going to be on the screen, but they say, so Jesus, what is the greatest rule? What is the greatest commandment? Jesus pulls out his iPhone. Hey, Siri, you know, what is the greatest commandment? No, he doesn't. He just responds. I tried Siri earlier. She doesn't know it. She directs you to the website, but she doesn't know it. So, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He says, well, it's easy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your might, your body, your life. Love it with, you know, the essence of your body. Oh, and by the way, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so now these guys are like, okay, you got that one right. So Let's do a follow-up question. It's sort of like we got Trump and we got CNN and they're asking him questions. So Jesus, so who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Is it just the people that look like you and dress like you and live in Westmont or in Crown Point where we live? Or is it those people that you don't know 12,000 miles away living in Madagascar? Or is it the Muslim people that John Kohler's ministering to in Kabul, Afghanistan? Well, we know the answer. I mean, it's everybody. It'd be just easy if it was like the nice-looking ones who smelled right and looked right and dressed right and had the right car and, you know, knew when to stand up and sit down and things like that, you know? You know, we do, or different, we have a baptismal font here, and they're going to be doing a submersion baptism later this afternoon. You know, I was sprinkled when I was first baptized, and, you know, it's like, who is your neighbor? Then the next thing that I want to talk about, also in Matthew, it's like, well, who's your neighbor? Well, I got some neighbors who aren't so good, you know? I got some neighbors who are bad people, maybe, and they do bad things. Maybe they're criminals. Maybe they're murderers. I don't know what they've done, but I know they're bad. You know, they're bad. Who said that? The church lady, I think, wasn't it, on Saturday Night Live? So what about those bad people? Do we love them as our neighbor? You know, since everybody's our neighbor. And it also says in Matthew again, and I'm paraphrasing, there's different versions of it, the sun shines on the just and the unjust. The sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. And it rains on the just and the unjust. And it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. So that kind of includes everybody, you know. It's like we enjoyed a beautiful day yesterday. It was just awesome. And, you know, it wasn't just for us. It was for everybody, you know, where we lived. I'm sure other parts of the planet didn't have such great weather. But it's for everybody. Susan has a dream, what do you call it, the smelly church, right? Yeah, the smelly church, that we would have like a smelly church, that the people would come would be the smelly people, like the homeless people, the dirty people, the people that really nobody kind of pays much attention to. You kind of turn and look the other way when you're walking down the street. Those are the just and the unjust. That's God so loved the world. All those people. So, we got love your neighbor as yourself. You got Linda Vitt back here, who sent the money to send all those people on that trip. Can she get anything in return? Carol's giving her a massage, but it's an expensive 2 minutes you just got there, but that's the neighbor. And then we got this, like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all that, you know? How do you love God? I remember when we were in Sudan, this Dick Brogdon, who was the missionary there, who's been kicked out a long time ago, they kicked them all out. He was like, he had his team together, and we were with him. He says, well, what's our motto? Love God, love each other, love Muslims. I always remember that. It's like, oh yeah, we're supposed to love them. We're supposed to love that mosque across the street, you know? They're right there. But anyway, so I was thinking about, well, loving God, loving God, loving God. So we talked a little bit about Kathy King's mother, Diane Moore, and she's been through a lot at the hospital and bypass surgery. But there's something that's going to stick with me. I'm getting closer to the finish than I was yesterday and a few years ago, you know. Don't know how long, but I'm well over the 50% mark, let me tell you. So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, we were at Good Samaritan Hospital. We got the call. We went back because she was going to have additional sort of emergency surgery, life or death. Maybe she's going to lose one or both of her legs. It's pretty serious. And I show up at Good Samaritan Hospital, and I'll teach you a little Yiddish. See, there's Hebrew, that's one language, and then there's Yiddish, which sometimes is the language called Jewish. But Yiddish is a very expressive language. It was the language my mother and her aunt spoke when she didn't want us to understand what she was saying, you know, when she was talking about us. It's very expressive, and it's a dying language, and I just learned enough to figure out what my parents were talking about me about. So, but I remember I showed up, and In Yiddish, it's the whole mishbachi. The whole mishbachi, the whole family was out there at Good Samaritan. You know, I pull in the parking lot, I'm like, this is the right place, because they're all out there. There's like 35 of you, I think, something like that. And so we're in there, and we're praying, and Carol says, let's go to the chapel and pray. I'm like, okay, we can do that. So 35 of us or so, we march off to the chapel, and we move all the chairs around, and we're sitting in a circle, and okay, God, what am I supposed to do here? What am I supposed to say? And I'm like, okay, well, I'll start. And anybody who wants to lead out, lead out. And I also said, if you read Psalms, most of the Psalms start off with people going, God, you know, they're like pissed off with God about something. They're not happy, and they're shaking their fist at him. Most of the Psalms start that way, and then they change. And I'm like, you know, you might be angry with God. Kathy King, your sisters, you might be a little upset. Your mother's going through all this. It's okay. Express it. And so anyways, we start praying. And all of a sudden, I'm going to call you Nana. You can raise your hand because they can't see you. You're too short. That's Barbara. That's Kathy King's grandmother, Diane Moore's mother. She's there. And she's 4'8". She weighs less than 100 pounds. And she's older than me, right? Okay. She's older than me. And the day I die, I'll still remember this. We're praying. Different people are praying. She reaches up physically. This is the vision. She grabbed God by his collar. And she shook him. And she was like, you know, you ain't going to let this happen. And I was like stunned that I remember Heidi was there. I looked at Heidi and she looked at me and I was like, okay, so what do we do next? You know? And this is a woman who loves God with all her mind, all her heart, all her physical body, all her soul, all her might. And she reached out to God, and just like, you know, they talk about don't mess with Mama Bear, you know? I wouldn't mess with you. You know, you're 4'8", but I wouldn't mess with you because you did it with love because God loved you, so you're loving him and you love your daughter. Very, very, very powerful moment for me. Amber, can we have the next slide? This is kind of unusual. This is 1 Corinthians 13. Many of you know it from kind of the wedding. You know, that's usually when they kind of talk about this. But if I speak in the tongues of man or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Sort of like, no matter what you do, it's like if you're not doing it with love, does it really matter? Next slide. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have the faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I have nothing. It's like, I, you know, if I can bring meals to the shut-in person, but I don't do it with love, it doesn't really mean anything. If I go to Kentucky and help the people down there in Kentucky, but I'm not doing it with love, does it really matter? Those of you who are going to Haiti, very interesting place. If you go there and you're not doing it with love, you know, it's like, okay, so maybe you'll paint a building or, you know, do some things. I don't know what you're all going to be doing there. But if you don't do it with love, it doesn't matter. Next slide. Oh, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So if we give all of our money to people in Madagascar, but we don't do it with love, you know, does it really matter? It means nothing. Next slide. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. And I don't mean to embarrass you, Linda Vitt. I know I talked to you on the phone, but because I know you're not boasting. I am. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And the next slide. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. And the final slide. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there's money going to Madagascar, it'll stop. When you're gone and not going to Haiti, it'll be over. Where people were speaking in tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. And the last slide, I believe. Still not the last slide. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. The next slide. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part that I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And the next slide. And now these things remain. Just three things. Not bringing the meals, not taking in your neighbor's garbage can, not bringing food to the church. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. God so loved the world. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all mind, all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we took communion earlier. Do we practice it with love? I'm hoping so. So how can we love our neighbors? Well, first of all, who is our neighbor? It's pretty easy. It's everybody. Joe, I gotta love you. Sorry. Oh, yeah, there's God. That made it harder. Actually, I think I sent you a text, Pam, didn't I? Oh, you did let him know. Pam's my go-to to get to Joe, because I don't think Joe texts. So when I need things done, I send Pam a text. Could you ask Joe to change bulbs or do whatever it is? And then I says, I'm really getting to like Joe a lot, but don't tell his wife. So, okay. But he does it with love. I mean, it's, you know, how we should do everything. So who is our neighbor? Everyone's our neighbor. Whether they're good, whether they're bad, whether they smell or don't smell or dress right or wear long pants once in a while or short pants, it doesn't matter. It's acts completed with love, and there's no expectation in return. And I was thinking about this. It's like, gosh, I expect stuff in return. You know, like if I invite you to my house and we have dinner, and that's nice. And then maybe a month or two later, hey, why don't you come again? You know, then we're going to have lunch. And then, oh, come out. We'll play golf. Oh, we'll play golf. Then I'm like, you know, I invited Bill three times and he hasn't invited me back, you know. And I'm like, I'm kind of expecting it. I mean, I think that's the flesh talking, you know. It's like I invited him because I want him to come out. I want to spend time with him. But I'm kind of looking for something in return. You know, what do we get in return when we do something? So it's acts completed with love without any expectation. You're just doing it just because you're doing it. Very difficult to do sometimes. So in closing, it says here, love is the only thing remaining. That's everything else is going to go away. Get to heaven, it's not going to be about did you bring meals to the sick person or did you help to stop that guy with the or help to stop to help that guy with the flat tire, you know? The only thing that's going to remain, did you do it with love? And again, I look to my wife because one of her favorite sayings, and I think is I'm well over the halfway point. When I get there, will I get well done, good and faithful servant? well done, good and faithful servant. And I think that means, did you do what I wanted you to do, and did you do it with love? So my prayer would be that each one of us would receive that well done, good and faithful servant. Could I get the worship team to come up?